When someone is hurt in a truck accident, the one question everyone has is, why did this terrible collision happen? To answer that question takes an experienced team of lawyers and experts. Not everyone has this type of experience. At Colombo Law, we are truck injury lawyers. It's what we do every day. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
You're listening to the Quince Podcast. The wait is over. India's biggest initial public offering, or IPO, of Life Insurance Corporation of India kicked off a subscription for retail institutional investors today, that is on 4th May. Since it's completely an offer for sale, all the proceedings will directly go to the government, which is expecting to raise rupees 21,000 crores by selling a 3.5% stake of LIC in a bid to replenish the public coffers that have been drained out by the pandemic. But moving on to the pricing details, the price band for this IPO has been set at rupees 902 to 949 per share for the sale of 22.13 crores equity shares. There's also a discount offer of rupees 60 per share for its policyholders and rupees 45 APs for retail investors and LIC employees. The LIC IPO will close on 9th May and the company will be listed on the stock exchange on 17th May. And the first 2 hours of the first day of bidding itself saw a pretty decent response, with a subscription of around 28% by 12 noon. And by the time of the recording of this podcast at around 5 p.m., it was at 58%. Expectedly, in the months leading up to this massive IPO listing, there's been a lot of buzz around this, partly because LIC, which is a state-run insurance company, has been a household name in the country for several decades, given that it's the biggest and the oldest insurance company in India. But after some newly listed stocks of companies like Zomato, Nykaa and Paytm hit record lows after many weeks of record highs, there's also been a big question among policyholders and investors. And the question is, to invest or not to invest? While that's a tricky question to answer, what are the pros and cons of investing? We'll take that question to our guest today in the podcast, Mr. Prasenjit Datta, who's the former editor of Business World and Business Today. We'll also hear from senior journalist Madhavan Narayanan on his take on why the government is going ahead with this IPO listing under such volatile market conditions. You're tuned in to The Big Story, the podcast where we dissect the headline-making news for you. And I'm your host, Shorbury. Before we get to the big question, let's look at all the important details that you need to know around this IPO listing first. As I said, LIC has been a household name in middle-class families ever since it was created in 1956. In fact, the behemoth enjoyed a total monopoly for more than four decades till the late 90s, until the sector was open to the private players. And although its market share has shrunk to 64.1% in 2020, it's still the country's largest life insurer, holding two-thirds of the insurance market share. In fact, according to reports, it approximately has 30 crore policyholders and 13 lakh agents, accounting for 55% of the total agent network, and that's part of the reason that this IPO listing looks appealing. Now, initially, the centre was expecting to generate rupees 63,000 crores by selling a 5% stake in the life insurance firm to meet the curtailed disinvestment target of rupees 78,000 crores in the current fiscal. But then it cut down the size of the IPO to 3.5% to raise around rupees 21,000 crores in view of the volatile market conditions. In fact, when the Russia-Ukraine conflict blew up into a full-fledged war, there were also some indications around March that the IPO listing might get deferred to a more opportune moment, which might ensure garnering the maximum value of the LIC holdings. And senior journalist Madhavan Narayanan also points out that the market is in an uncertain mood globally, which has made this more of a buyer's market than a seller's market.
The common sense logic is that the world markets are down because of the rise in the interest rates. You see, what happens is that in general, the share market is, doesn't ever, there is no such thing called a permanent intrinsic value.
Okay.
Company's performance keeps changing on the one hand.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the market conditions keep changing, both for the product itself, which could be insurance in this case,
right,
or for the share market itself, okay?
Right.
So very often, the share market tends to value based on market mood and the amount of money that market speculators, traders, long-term investors, everybody has to play with. So what happens is globally the market is in a bit of a uncertain mode. If you look at inflation today, Australia's inflation has risen to 20-year highs. India's inflation is also, wholesale price hike has been in double digits. It's already retail prices reach 7%, whereas the RBI's band is at 6%. Overall, net-net, the Ukraine war is also happening. Therefore, there is tussle over everything from ruble payment to speculation on nuclear war and all that. So the market is in a bad mood, both in terms of amount of money you can play with, because a lot of market players are essentially play with borrowed money.
Right.
Okay. So, and they also, that also sets the mood for, acquisitions and this thing. So what happens is typically this becomes more of a buyer's market than a seller's market.
Yet, despite the reduced valuations, the IPO remains India's largest ever, surpassing the Paytm IPO listing from 2021, which had raked in rupees 18,300 crores. But as we talk about the moody market, one also wonders, why have this IPO listing under such volatile market conditions in the first place? Why not just wait it out? Is it a desperate move? In response to these questions, this is what LIC chairperson Mr. M.R. Kumar told Bloomberg Quint in an interview.
I won't call it desperation. In fact, it is a sign of strength. I would say that even in this condition, where most IPOs are put on the back burner, we are going ahead with it. And that strength comes from the fact that we know the market. We've been investment managers for decades now. We know how things pan out. And we believe we have the confidence that this can happen.
Mr. Narayanan also adds to it. He believes that despite the unfavorable market conditions and the reduced valuation, it makes sense for the government to have the LIC IPO for three reasons. One, the government will get some money anyway. Two, it can also show that they're going ahead with the reform process and privatization. And three, if it's a buyer's market, the government could use the money for the extra expenditure that they might need to control the fiscal deficit.
You will not be in a mood to pay more.
Right.
As a buyer. So the government is keen to get this process going. It gets money and also it wants to show that it's going on with the reform process.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the only way out is either shelve the whole thing altogether or drop the price in a way that it doesn't look like a failure when it actually happens. You look at what happened to Paytm, right? Drop the price, the people are likely to buy more, and the person who was planning to invest in 100 shares will probably buy 120.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the person who was not planning to buy at all may consider buying because the valuation is more attractive.
Right.
So, for the government, the Ukraine war was a big setback because it was planning to have the LIC IPO sometime in March or so or February, so it could take into account in the old financial year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at the current year, the new financial year has come out with new problems because the market rate, interest rates have gone up, which basically means what's called bond yields, which basically inching up, which basically means the government also cannot borrow easily.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it borrows, it has to pay a slightly a notch, half a percentage point more perhaps. So if that happens, that you can check with some of the stories on borrowings, you will probably, because I follow everything, but I don't look at minute details except where I'm writing about it, because there's only so much you can carry in your head.
Right.
Okay, but market borrowings are, if interest rate goes up, as it is, the government's cost of money goes up. That's also an expenditure, right?
Right.
So it makes sense for the government to have the IPO so that A, you will get some money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
B, you can show that you are going ahead with the reform process and privatization.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you cannot. You are in a buyer's market. Therefore, you could do with the money for that extra expenditure you might need to control the fiscal deficit.
Now, in the 3.5% stake that is being offered, 10% of the shares are reserved for LIC policyholders, 0.7% for LIC employees, while 31.25% is reserved for household investors. And at the time of the recording of this podcast, according to Money Control, the LIC policyholders had led the initial bout of buying in an insurer's IPO, having subscribed 1.8 times the portion that was reserved for them. The employee reserved portion had been subscribed 100%, while retail investors' portion had been subscribed at 55%. But now coming to the main question, to invest or to not invest? Well, there's no simple answer for that. Rather, what one can look at are the pros and cons of investing. The former editor of Business World and Business Today, Prosenjit Datta, breaks down the pros for us first.
See, the pros are very simple. Yeah, it is not only the oldest, but it is still by far the biggest life insurance company in the country. Hmm. By a large margin. Yeah, no private sector company, even despite their growth, come anywhere near it. In terms of the corpus it manages, the number of people it insures, it is huge. Plus, it makes a lot of money. You know, if you just look at its profits, it is massive. Those are the pros, right? And finally, the pricing seems fairly attractive given that it has been reduced quite sharply from what was the originally was thought would be the price band in which it would sell. So those are the pros.
But coming to the cons, Mr. Datta points out that at the end of the day, the government is the overwhelming owner of the company and it's not a commercial owner. The government could have more social goals, he says, which means that it's not going to be an out-and-out profit-making entity. Listen in.
Now, look at the cons. Yeah, the cons are very simple. That at the end of it, what is the amount which is being sold to the public and to investors? That is 3.5%, right? Yeah. Now, the government is the overwhelming owner of the insured.
Yeah.
And remember that the government is not a commercial owner. It is not as if that the government only looks at shareholder wealth. The government has many other purposes. It could be something like, you know, how to do, you know, a deeper penetration of insurance in the country. So there could be a lot of social goals of the government. So in that sense, it is not a out and out profit making entity, and that is the con. You will be one of the people who holds 3.5% of the total amount as an investor. It doesn't give you any say in saying that this should be done like this or it should be become more efficient or anything. So you're essentially hoping that the government will look kindly and look at shareholder maximization, which may or may not be the case. And that is why it is hard to look at it from that angle, that whether it will be a good buy. The second problem is that if you look at the government entities since liberalization, by and large, most of them have not been able to hold on to their market share or profit margins in any sector. Once private players come in, they start nibbling. Initially, they are quite small, but later on, they start becoming the big daddies, and over a period of time, these languish. Now, I am saying that LIC is a long way away from that situation, but we already see that every year, private sector companies are eating into its market share.
And this is where we'll end the podcast today. But do tune in tomorrow for a new episode of The Big Story. If you like listening to this episode, please subscribe to The Big Story playlist for episodic updates. We'll have on Apple, Google Podcast, Spotify, JioSaavn, and most of the other popular podcast streaming platforms. For other podcasts, please log on to the Quinn website and check out the podcast section. For any feedback, shoot an email to podcasts@thequinn.com.
Thanks for listening. Log on to the Quinn's website and check out our other podcasts.